Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2008 Home Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
If you're in the last class, this is actually habit 7 from my 7 habits. Habit 7 is to be a model in progress. And no, it took me about 2 years. So if you, even if you don't like this class, tell them you liked it. It took me about 2 years to get anyone to let me give this class. When I was giving the other classes and they'd call up and say, "Why don't you speak at this whatever?" And, you know, "What do you want to speak about?" I said, "I have this new class I want to do, and it's kind of about, it's called Supercharged, it's really called Supercharged Stay-at-Home Mom, but when I do it for homeschoolers, they like me to change it." I said, "This is what it's called." And I said, "Oh, we don't want, because that'll make people feel guilty, and we don't want you to do that." And I said, "So, no, so I don't really want you to feel guilty. I want you to feel just guilty enough to do something, and that's as guilty as I want you to feel. So don't feel guilty. To me, this is the joy of life, is moving forward." So, what we're really talking about is to be a model in progress. Homeschooling is all about progress. You're trying to teach your kids to move forward, to be better, to learn. Lifelong learning is, you know, to give them this model. And if you're doing it, it works better. And it works better if you're moving forward and progressing and becoming a better person. Having personal development, not being a model of stagnation. Now, in some homeschooling models, I hear a lot of things that, I had a woman who told me, oh gosh, I keep tripping on, just a minute, I've got a little problem here. I had a woman who said, "Well, when I want my kids to do something, what I do is I do it myself. And I make sure they see me do it, and I make comments about how much I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and I love it. And that way they'll just be drawn in and start doing it." I know a woman who wanted her kids to play the violin. And she actually had played it years before. And so she said, "Well, I'm getting my violin out, and I'm playing it." Now, you know, that's fine. And she got it out, and she says, "I'm playing it, and every time I play, I say, oh, that was so fun. I really loved doing that." And she was really frustrated 2 months later when no one came in and said, "Mom, teach me to play. That looks so fun because you're obviously enjoying it." To me, it's kind of more honest and reflects a better relationship with your kids if you can say, "Hey, you know, why don't you pick an instrument? Wouldn't you like to play something? What interests you in music? Or I really loved this book when I was your age. Why don't you, I think you'd like it," rather than, "Oh, this is a great book. I'm reading it again because just to impress you or something." You know, just be open and upfront. And to me, showing them a model of moving forward and self-improvement is by doing it where you are. Pick where you are and move forward. Don't let go. I'm not going to go do algebra that I did 30 years ago just so my kids will do algebra. So I'm going to keep doing things intellectually so that they can see that it's always good to do it. It doesn't start when you're 5 and end when you're 18 and then you're done and you can just lie down on the couch the rest of your life. But what does being a model in progress mean? It's not perfection. It just means forward movement and not being stagnated. Sometimes it's easy for us to think we don't have time. I don't actually have this screen up, but let me ask you a couple things. It's like I'm too busy. I've got these kids. I've got this. I've got that. And I just don't have time for myself or to do something for myself. But I think it will benefit your whole life if you do. I want you to think about a couple of things. And it's funny because homeschooling groups are really predictable in their responses to these. I have these 3 questions. If you think you don't have time, think about what it is you spend your time on. First of all, if I can remember what the questions are, think about if there's any television show when you know when it comes on and you schedule around it. And homeschoolers don't watch TV ever. And so whenever I say this to homeschoolers, you see people going, "No, not me." And the funny thing is, in homeschooling groups, if someone posts about a TV show, they always preface it with, "Well, I never watched a show, but I never watched Oprah, but today I was just randomly flipping through the channels because I had a migraine and I accidentally came on Oprah and I saw the show. Now I'm going to tell you about it." And they have this big explanation for how they happened to see Oprah today when they've never seen it before. But if you watch TV, you probably have time to do something for personal development. I remember once I was playing basketball when I lived in Florida with some friends, and we were right in the middle. We were having more goofing around than playing basketball because we're a bunch of old fat ladies. But we were just laughing, having a good time. And she said, "Oh, I have to go. ER's on." And I thought, you'd rather go watch some dumb show than play with us, because we were having such a good time. So think about television and those kind of things. Think about if you spend more time chatting on the internet or posting to message boards or email lists than you do doing personal improvement. Now, the truth is, this is another thing that homeschoolers never admit to, but there are millions of very, very long posts on every homeschooling email list or message board. And someone's posted them. Maybe it's just Peggy, or this one lady in Missouri. But somebody's posted them. And they're very, this is my, okay, I'm a computer person, so this is my downfall. But somebody's posting all those really long debates about homeschooling methods, right? So there's a cartoon I saw that is so me. It says, there's a man sitting at the computer and his wife standing behind him. He says, "I'll be there in a minute. Somebody said something wrong on the internet." And, you know, I was there like at the beginning when Al Gore invented the internet. And so I felt like this obligation, like if someone said something wrong about Mormons or something wrong about homeschoolers, I had to correct it. It was my sole job to make sure everyone had, and you know what, give it up because it's not going to happen. So think about how much time you spend doing those things. My last one is my favorite question is, do you spend more time creating memory pages to chronicle events than you actually spent living the event? If you spend 45 minutes documenting a 15-minute event, think about the value of that. Now, I have to say, if any of you are a big scrapbooker, I'm not a scrapbooker, so I have a bias against that. But one of my best friends is a woman named Lisa Berenson. And if you're a homeschooler, you probably know who Lisa Berenson is. She's founding editor of Creating Keepsakes. And she does seminars, and she goes on TV and does all the home. She is the homeschooling, like they call her the mother of homeschooling or whatever. And so whenever I get together with her, I have to do the scrapbook confession. I'm sorry, I still don't scrapbook. I'm a horrible mother. But so I don't hate homeschooling, but think about how much time you spend doing any kind of thing like that that really isn't maybe moving you where you want to go. I think one of the best concepts in, oh, just a minute, I did have those on, so I'm going to put them up. Look, I didn't even know I had those on there. One of the best business concepts, I think, to apply to real life, it's kind of the first thing you learn in business school, it's called opportunity cost. And opportunity cost means for everything you do, you give up everything else you could have done. If you use a dollar to buy a candy bar, you can't use the dollar for anything else. If you spend an hour scrapbooking, you can't spend the hour doing anything else. So when you do something, think about, we do need downtime. We do need to relax and do things. So I'm not saying don't ever do those things with your time, but realize that you are using the time for whatever you're choosing to, and it's gone. There isn't a recovery for that. So think about what it is you're using your time for. And realize you do have time to do something. There are going to be different phases of our lives. Sometimes when we have lots of time to kind of pick and choose, and sometimes when we have a little, but you do have some time. So think about if you really have the desire to move forward and what you want to do with your life, and what kind of a person you want to be. I love this quote. It says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." You know, I think about the scripture that says, don't hide your light under a bushel, to be a light on the hill. And part of that is moving forward and using your God-given talents and abilities to be the best person you can be. Joseph Worthland said this in conference a couple of years ago. He said, "I urge you to examine your life, determine where you are and what you need to do to be the kind of person you want to be. Create inspiring, noble, and righteous goals that fire your imagination and create excitement in your heart. And then keep your eyes on them. Work consistently towards achieving them." You can do this by making a plan for your own life. I think sometimes we spend so much time planning our kids and homeschool and all the things that we're doing that we don't really sit down and say, wait, where do I want to go to? Because I'm finding this out personally. Your kids grow up and they have their own lives. And I do not want to be in a position. I've got, fortunately I have this little guy, he was 4, as I got a few years, but I don't want to have him go and find out that I have no life, that was it. Now what do I do with myself? I'm totally lost. I want to have things that I'm interested in. I want to be one of those people who, I'm going to go on a bunch of missions and have a bunch of things that have built up that now that I have that time that I can really give of myself and serve and use that time. And the other thing I find is if you don't plan for your life, somebody will. And right now it's my kids. If I don't have a plan, there is no time. It will be consumed somehow. Every minute will be consumed. Annie Dillard said, schedule defense from chaos and whim. And I think that's a really pertinent thing to say. So make a schedule of progress of where you want to go. Where do you want to be? What person do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? And I'm really convinced that we are where we are almost completely. Now, there are outside influences and things out of our control, but we're where we are because we chose to be there. I talk to my kids sometimes, you know, if you're sitting on the couch eating potato chips, watching TV, saying, I really wish I was thin, you don't. You really wish you could sit on the couch and eat potato chips. Because that's, if you really, you know, I'm a singer, and people will come to me sometimes, not with this voice, but sometimes they'll come to me and say, I really wish I could sing like you. And I'm like, so how many years have you studied voice? None. wishing is very different from really wanting something. You know, it's like I wish I could play the piano really well, but I really do not want to take lessons and learn to play. I don't take the time to play. So I don't really want to play the piano. I think it'd be cool if it was magically poofed on me, but like lots of things. But you have to think about what you really want as opposed to what you wish you could have. And usually we're where we are greatly due to what we chose to do. And so you kind of want to be where you are. It's where you're comfortable because that's how that you got there from making your own choices. So if you would like to be somewhere else, you need to make your choices align with what you want. You need to change what you're doing. Think about what is your dream life. You're not too old. You're not too whatever. Sometimes I'm 44. I turned 44 a couple weeks ago, and in some ways, that seems very, very old to me. Like, my life has passed me by. But we're not. We still have a whole life to live. And so I'm going to teach you my goal-setting system for moving forward. The first thing to do is to make a master goal list. What this list is, it's a list of everything you ever, 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 ever in your whole life want to do or have. I'm like in your wildest imagination. And what I like to do is to make 101, to start, make a list of 101 things you want to do or be or have or places to go, anything like that. And really put anything. Don't be limited. Well, I really wish I could do this, but put anything you really, really want to do. You know, before you die. Did you ever see The Bucket List? There was a movie called The Bucket List that came out where the guy wrote a list of things he wanted to do. He had terminal something, and he wrote a list of things he wanted to do. And they stole that idea from me because I had it first. But that's what this is to me. I started this when I was in college. And I just wrote down, every time I'd hear something like, and I think, oh, that'd be cool to do, I write it down. Now, sometimes I cross them off because maybe 10 years later I haven't done it and it really doesn't interest me anymore or I'm not. I used to get a master's degree on there. And my husband has a PhD and I have a bachelor's degree, so there's kind of a discrepancy there. And so I wanted to get a master's degree, and then I realized, I actually, in Florida at one point, I kind of started looking into, you know, getting the papers and starting up to do that, and I realized I just wanted a master's degree so I could tell people I had a master's degree. So it would sound cool. And I thought, what a waste of time to spend all that time and money to get something just to brag about it. And I realized that bragging shouldn't be that important about it. So right now that's not on my list, because I don't really want to get a master's degree right now. Maybe it'll go back on but hopefully it'll be for a better reason than that at some point. But if it's something that interests you right now, write it down, put it on there. And don't be limited by all the things that we're limited by. Just put down whatever it is you want. You'll be surprised at how often just writing something down and having it there, in a few years, you might kind of forget about it, and you'll say, an opportunity will come for you to do something that you've kind of always wanted to do, and now you can see a path to do it. So it helps to just write down. And the reason I say write 101 things is because it's never, 100 is too tidy of a number. The list is never done. And if it's 101, you won't feel, you feel compelled maybe to add to it. You can always add to it and keep adding to it. So you have two columns, and you're going to have 101 rows. The second column, you're going to write down the limiting factors or the barriers. This is going to take you a while. It took me, when I actually set out, I have had this list ongoing, but when I actually started this, it probably took me 3 weeks. You'll find you'll get to about, it's pretty easy to write down about 40 things, And then it starts getting really hard to think of more things. And to get to 101 took me about two and a half weeks. But in the second column, write down the thing that's keeping you from getting it. Sometimes it's something that you can't do anything about, but sometimes it's a very simple thing. Write down what it is that's keeping you. It's like the sitting on the couch eating the chips. It might be to put the chip bag is what's keeping you from that goal. So why is it on the list? What's in your way that it's not something you've already done? What's keeping you from doing that? But write it down as if you've already conquered it, as if it's no longer a limiting factor. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Here's your two columns, what you want to be, do, or have, and the barriers. And here's an example. It says, like, I am punctual to appointments. That might be your goal. I write it down as if you do it. I'm punctual. And this is assuming that you're not, that's why you need to write it down. And the barrier might be that you wait till the last minute to get ready. That's me. I wait till the last minute, and I try to do all these extra things, like clean the entire house before I go or something. And so I do not wait until the last minute to get ready. And the other example is I have good physical condition. I do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise daily. The last one is my kitchen is organized and neat. I do not dump things on the counter when I get home. So whatever it is that's keeping you, write it as if you've solved it and you don't do it anymore. You don't have that problem. The next thing I want you to do, and this is a pain, but I think this is important, is to categorize your goals. So you've just written down these 100 things. Put them into categories. I'll tell you the categories I use. They might not work for you. But the reason is I think it's important to be a well-rounded person, to develop yourself in lots of areas. You will find some areas that you're more interested in, and you will tend to enjoy more or more easily move to. It's easier to do stuff. So I'll do lots of stuff. I'll sit and do intellectual stuff and read all day long, but don't get me to go out and go running or something horrendous like that. So you might have these different categories that are easy for you, but it's important for you and for your kids to see you moving forward in different areas, and especially even those things that are difficult. The first, if you've got just 200 scrapbooking goals, that's not really a good goal set, okay? So I'm sorry I pick on scrapbooking. Don't get offended. The first category that I do is spirituality and character. So have some goals that help develop your character, spirituality, kind of in a religious sense. The second is family and relationship goals. Like I said, these are just the ones that work for me. Maybe they're too broad or too narrow for you, but I just have 9 that I like to use. Family and relationship goals. The second is education and training goals. Kind of more intellectual kinds of things. This one is health and fitness goals. I'll tell you about one of these. I don't look like I actually work out every single day, and I don't look like it. It's my baby's fault. My baby's fault. But when I was 23, I saw an article. I just had my first daughter, and I saw an article in the newspaper had these five moms who were all going to run the St. George Marathon. And we were at BYU at the time, and I saw this in the paper, and I thought, well, that's cool that they did that. And so I wrote it on my list, run a marathon. And I hate running. I love dance. I love lots of things. I like weightlifting. I hate running. Running is just tedious and boring to me. But I still thought that would be just cool to run a marathon. So I wrote that down on my list when I was 23. And just after I had my sixth baby, just after giving birth, a friend of mine from high school called and she said, Allison, to celebrate our 40th birthdays, let's run a marathon. And I said, I just had a baby, Jill. She's, I know, it'd be cool. We have 5 months, or, you know, it'd be so fun. Let's go. And I thought, you know, I've had this goal since I was 23. Am I going to do it when I'm 60? Either I'm going to cross it off the list, or I'm going to do it now. So I said, okay, fine, I'll do the marathon with you. So I got on Runner's World on their website, and I found their marathon training schedule. And I coerced my husband. My husband was actually, I'll do it with you. And I kind of coerced my sister into doing it with me, too, so I'd have misery company in my misery. And so I trained. You know, I'm thinking this is going to help me. I lost 3 pounds. I worked for 5 months, and I'm talking 13-mile run, and I lost 3 pounds, so that was a waste. But I did the training, and we got there to the, you know, I have to tell you, we slept over the night before, and they do my favorite part of running a marathon is the carbo load dinner the night before. That's the best part of the marathon. And the next day, we got, you know, I don't know, oh, dark 100 hours, and we go to you go to the starting point, you drive to the starting point, and then you get in the buses, and they drive you to you go to the end of the marathon, and they drive you to the start. So we all get in the buses, and of course, 90% of the people are looking not like me. They're looking like Runner's World models. And so you're already feeling like a big idiot. What am I doing here? And, you know, the cutest thing is we were talking about it, and my sister's husband, he was the most runner-like of us all, but he didn't run it. But he's sitting there, and he said, he was talking to my sister, and he was saying, well, I'll be at the 13-mile mark if you decide you don't want to finish, then I'll just take you home. And, you know, she didn't know if she wanted to do the whole thing. You know, it's a long 26.2 miles. And when he said that, I think this is the best. I think this is the nice compliment I've ever gotten in my life. Honestly, my husband said, "You know, with Allison, quitting isn't an option." And I thought it was. I nearly cried. I was like, I didn't know he thought that of me. You know, and I thought that is so nice that he just. You know, I would die before I'd stop. And so we get in the buses with all the skinny, muscly people, and in their spandex, and we're driving. And I'm telling you, we kept driving and driving. And I keep looking at my watch. And we're driving, and it's longer than I like to run. The drive was longer. And it kept, and by the time we got up to the starting point, I was just, you know, it's one of those, what am I doing? I used to do pageants. I was skinny in college. I used to do pageants. And no matter how well you do in a pageant, when they're announcing the winners, you stand there and think, what the heck am I doing up here? I'm such an idiot. Why did I put myself through this? And that's what I'm doing. What am I doing? Why? Take me back. Can I ride back in the bus? And we get up there, and I kind of, when I get to the starting line, I kind of went to the back of the pack because I just felt like an idiot. And they do the guns, and we start running, and I'm, you know, kind of running along, trying not to get run over by the fast people. And I found a lady who was she was one of the few people who didn't intimidate me in this run. She's about 5 feet tall, about 5 feet wide, and she's in her 50s, late 50s probably, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm probably the last person I'll ever speak to her alive because she's going to die on this run. So I kind of run it by her, you know, we're just chatting a little bit, and I wanted to know what her last wishes were and everything to her, for her family, and we're just kind of chatting, and she tells me she's in a club called the 50 Marathon Club, where they try to run a marathon in every state, and that was her 36th marathon. And I realized that I was outclassed again. And you know, the funny thing was, she finished it. And the funny thing about a marathon, though, is that I'd say a third to a half the people drop out before the end because, you know, it's stinking hard. And about a mile, I was fine at mile 13, about mile 21, my legs kind of turned into logs. It was a very strange thing. And every time you land, it's like this jarring through your body. And it was horrible. But I finished my marathon. I didn't do St. George, by the way. I did Top of Utah Marathon in Logan. This is my medal. But you know what? This woman that I was sure would die of cardiac arrest, she only finished about 4 minutes after I did. But you know what? We impose these limits on ourselves, and she taught me such a lesson. Because what an example she was to me. Because she's not just doing this. I'm never doing this again. I wanted to be able to say I ran a marathon. That's all I wanted to do. And I finished it, and I got to check that goal off. But it wasn't fun. It's not something I'd want to do again. But I was so impressed by her willingness to do something. And, you know, I'm really proud of it because it was so hard. It was so hard for me to do that. I don't like running at all. And so sometimes doing those things that are really hard for you, it gives you such energy and it gives you such courage to try other things. Because you think, God, if I could do that, you know, after that, we run 5Ks or 10Ks every once in a while now. Easy, you know, so it's like, I'm still slow, but so what? There's all these things that you realize you can do when you do something really difficult for you. And whether it's, you know, standing up in front of people to do something or whatever it is, reading something that's kind of very difficult, anything like that kind of just gives you more courage to move forward. So don't be afraid of doing those new things. The next area is financial and career goals. When my husband was, by the time he finished his PhD, we had two kids. You can just call that dirt poor. That's how you read that. And I was determined to stay home with my kids. Now, that's a whole other story, because I had never intended to do that. I when I was 13, I told my mother, I remember I was standing in the kitchen, and I said, I am too smart to stay home and do menial labor like you. Now, my mother had the presence. She just said, well, you'll have to decide what you want to do, dear. I would have just, like, yeah, I would not have reacted as calmly as my mother did. But that was my plan. My plan was, I'm going to go do this and get a master's degree and work. And when I date people and they would suggest that I might stay home, I took them out, because I was like, there's no way I'm not staying home. Don't you ever bring that up again. But when I had my, when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, President Benson gave that talk. And I was there when he gave that talk, the two mothers in Zion. And I was 4 months pregnant, and that just, like, threw... they didn't talk much about that when I was growing up, because I think they kind of assumed, I think the church curriculum was a little bit behind the culture. So the culture is all telling you to go out and get a job, and the curriculum's not really saying, you know, there's a different opinion here. And when he said that, it just threw my world upside down. And so I kind of had to really think through that. But then I decided to stay home, and I literally got down on my knees and I said, I'm going to do this because the prophet said to, but I don't want to. And don't let me be miserable for the rest of my life, because this is not what I want to do. And it wasn't a very respectful prayer, but that was my heart. My heart was just like, I do not want to do this. And I don't know how to balance what the prophet says. And if I believe he's a prophet, how do I ignore? I just didn't know what to do with that. So I just said, okay, I'll do this. But I found out, interestingly, that being home with my kids was actually this amazing opportunity to do these things that I wanted to do, but I thought it had to be in a particular venue. And so we were so poor, and I'm going to stay home. And I had all the excuses of not staying home, because we were stinking. I mean, he's in graduate school, and we had no money. And now that I determined to stay home, I found out that I could do a business at my house, which is kind of what I wanted to do anyway, but just not at my house. I had never had that do it at my house thing. And there weren't a lot of home businesses at the time, but I've had a home business ever since. And I love it, and it's this way. I can do it when I have time. I can do it if it fits with my family, but not do it if it doesn't fit. So to me, that has been a great, I've been able to contribute to our income when it fit with the family, and not when I didn't, when my kids needed more attention. So think about things that you can do in there. I mean, it might fit you, it might not, but you can always, it might even be just being a better manager of money instead of, you know, bringing in money. But there's lots of things you can do in that area. The next one is home and organization goals. I do a whole class on organization because I just love this. I don't like cooking, I don't like sewing, I don't like that, but I love organizing. Put me in a room and I'm just happy to do that. I love to do that. But I think we live better and learn better with organization than we do in chaos. And so I think it's good to kind of keep moving toward, you know, your idea of a good organized place to be. The next one is a little bit of a catch-all. It's kind of interest in personal growth goals. So you can put scrapbook in here if you must have scrapbooking goals. But this is just kind of other things that maybe don't fit in a category, but things that, you know, help you relax or enjoy life a little bit more. The next one is service and philanthropy goals. To me, this is one of the most crucial areas, because I have this theory that the current pop culture idea of self-esteem, I call it puppy dog self-esteem. It's like pat them on the head and say, oh, you're so this, you're so wonderful, you're so beautiful, you're so smart. And that's supposed to make people feel good. And I don't believe it does. I believe that what makes people have esteem for themselves is having esteem for others, and in getting outside of themselves. I think when we're thinking about ourselves, we see all of our flaws, and even if we're really good at something, we're kind of on a pedestal just waiting to be knocked off by somebody who does it better or is better. And we tend to feel better about ourselves if we are thinking about something besides how we feel about ourselves. So to me, service and philanthropy is a really important part of what we should be doing. And I think it really helps our kids, especially teenagers, who tend to have so much self-focus and concern, So to me, this is a really important area, the service and philanthropy. And the last one is recreation and leisure. Because that is important, you can also put scrapbooking. Don't put scrapbooking in both both areas. But you could also put, you know, kind of things to do that are fun. And I especially like to do fun family activities and things like that. When I've divided these up, you will notice, like I said before, you'll notice that sometimes you're lopsided. You might do lots of things in a particular area and do nothing in another area. And unless you really think that area is invalid and you don't want to, you know, think about how you can improve yourself in different areas, even those that are maybe more difficult to you. See what areas you're neglecting. And once you have your list and you kind of have this list, what do you do with that? You've got these goals or things that you want to do in your life, but what do you do with that? What you're going to do is you're going to, the goals aren't there just to be pretty on this pretty piece of paper. So you can go, look, I have this goal list. It's to take action on it. And so what you do is you these goals become projects one at a time. Choose a goal from your master list that you decide you're going to work on. What I suggest is to pick the item, if you can identify it, sometimes this is more difficult, but that you think will have the biggest single impact on your life. If I could do this one thing, it would change everything. It would improve my life vastly. Because most of the time, we have those things on our list. We have something or a few things that really will change, you know, overall our lives to a great extent, have a big impact. So pick the one that you think will make the greatest positive impact. And really, to move forward, you're going to have to decide that you won't tolerate whatever's keeping you from that goal anymore. You say, you know, I will not tolerate sitting on the couch with the chips anymore. I like that. It's an easy example to see, but I just won't tolerate that anymore. Because, you know, the drive to do this really has to be internal. There's no one else can make you do it or make you want to do it. And that's the best thing, is to decide that you won't tolerate that anymore. And when you do, write a paragraph explaining why that goal is important to you. What will you gain if you accomplish it? And maybe more important is, what will you lose if you don't accomplish it? I think sometimes realizing what we're giving up by not changing is even more important than recognizing what you'll get, because usually you've already thought about what you'll get. And then if you read your, is it compelling to you? If you read the paragraph you just wrote, is it compelling to you? Does it make you say, oh my goodness, this is something I really need to move forward to? Because if it's not, rewrite it. It's got to be something that really drives you and moves you forward. Usually if you have a really good why, this is why I want to do it, you're much more likely to be able to find a way. Finding a way isn't really that hard. It's usually just deciding that you want to move forward. And then choose the best course of action to accomplish your goal. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes you already know what you need to do. Sometimes you might need to research or read or study or find someone else who's done it and see what they did. But find your path to finishing it that will accomplish it. And once you have that figured out, write it down. I call it ridiculously doable steps. Write it down in teeny tiny itty bitty steps. And I'll tell you why. A big chunk of something is hard to tackle, but little tiny things, if you have a ridiculously doable step, you'd feel silly not, well, I can't move forward because, you know, putting this paper in the filing cabinet is too hard. You'd feel dumb to, it's too hard if you make it very simple and broken down. I have a friend who, he died a few years ago, but he would make every year, he made these huge lists of resolutions. Now, most of us have what I call rollover resolutions. We write them in January, and the next year they're pretty much the same, so we just move them to the next year, and I'll try it again this year. And we don't do much with it. Every year he had these long lists, and every year he did every single thing on his list. And this was kind of his trick, is that he made them, he didn't make, I'm going to solve world hunger this year. He made little tiny goals that he could do. I only remember one of his goals specifically. One of them one year was, pray more on my knees and less in the car. And he did it, because it wasn't overwhelming. It was like, okay, well, I can do that. Come on, stop being lazy. At a state conference one year, one of the members of the state presidency challenged our congregation. He said, I want to challenge you to read your scriptures for 15 seconds a day. Now, you know, of course, when he said that, we're like, okay, you know. But the thing is, what do you think happened? What do you think happened when we got challenged to read 15 seconds a day? Somebody, tell me, what do you think happened? What? Habit. Created a habit of opening the scriptures. What, did you say something?
Probably end up reading more of it.
You know.
Over a
typical week, 30 seconds. Right. That's right. 30 or 30 seconds, how many did you do? But the thing is, you know, if you only read 15 seconds, 15 seconds is not over. Did you really? I'm sorry, Lord, I did not have 15 seconds today. I mean, really. So you had to open them because you knew you had 15 seconds, but you got in the habit. And you usually did more. And so it accomplished the goal. Instead of being this, you need to, I remember the chapter a day thing they used to do in seminary. And sometimes the chapters are 8 pages long. And you just go, oh, no. You know, you'd be, three verses. You'd be so happy on the short chapter days. But this was a chapter that was ridiculously doable. It was a goal that was ridiculously doable. 15 seconds. And it worked because it created habit. And it got us moving forward. I think as a whole stake, everyone did better that year reading. Because they weren't overwhelmed, but they had this doable goal, and they moved forward. And I think a lot of people, just by opening them, they realized that they were learning, and they liked it. And so it gave them this new idea for something they maybe hadn't done before. So put your goals that way, in a way that you can, every day you could go, I can do this little thing. I can do this. It's not a big movement, but you know, those little tiny incremental steps move you forward. And that's why when Robes had, his name is Robes, my friend, he had these huge goal lists that he always accomplished, but they were tiny, tiny little things. And that's what it took to, every year, that added up to become a great things that he could do. And once you have these projects, your projects become actions. These little doable steps are your action steps. They're your action steps to take action. And the first thing that I say to do, if you can, is do the first little thing. You've picked your goal. You have your little steps. Do the first thing, if you can, right then, because you've already started. It's a lot easier once you've already started. Well, I've already started on this. I'm going to keep going. I did my little thing right now. And then you're going to have some kind of a list where you keep track of what the next thing to do is. Well, I did this. Now I go back to my list, and I'm going to put down what it is I need to do today or what the next thing is. Every time you check something off, go back and bring the next thing over. So you just keep progressing through those little tiny steps, because those little tiny steps will add up to the great big, great things that you want to do in your life. And then you just repeat. Sometimes if you can add another goal from another area, I think just, like I said, for balance, maybe you finished a goal, do something from a different area so you're progressing in different areas. Or maybe you can do more than one at once. Don't overwhelm yourself, but at the same time, don't limit yourself. See if there's more things you can work on. This is kind of, if you have questions, you can ask them here too, because what I really just want to do is go through each of those areas and have you, this is the participation time I warned you about. Have you given me some ideas of what maybe you've done or what you might want to do or think would be interesting to do in these areas? So what about spirituality and character? Did any of you have something that came to mind of what you wanted to do besides reading 15 seconds a day? Yes?
Meditation. Quiet time.
Like 4 hours a day? I could use...
Like 1 minute.
Okay. Meditation and quiet time. Oh, I'm supposed to repeat that. She said, meditation and quiet time. Okay, good. Give me another one. Yes?
Stop yelling at the kids.
Ooh, stop yelling at the kids. There's some book called Scream Free Parenting. I haven't read it.
I've read that.
Is it good? I don't think I... It didn't work, but it was good. Okay, go. Who else had a hand? I saw a hand. Don't be shy. Yes?
Well, what goal I had was to read, and not only read, but actually study it and understand the Old Testament. And I achieved that. I was so happy.
Good job. To study and read the Old Testament. And that is it, especially some parts. It's like when you get to 2 Nephi, I kind of want to skip those Isaiah chapters. Let's just skip. Go to Jacob.
I don't feel that way.
Good. Good job. Yes? To journal. Ugh. Do you know, my life just isn't that interesting. When I was a teenager, I thought it was so interesting. And I used to be pretty good at that. And then I'd do it every week. And then every fast Sunday. And now it's about every sixth fast Sunday. Because, yep, pretty much the same. Yeah, so that's a good one, journaling. Any others on that one that you want to share?
Scrapbooking is spirituality because it's family history.
I have a whole class on scrapbooking is not synonymous with family history, but I'll save that for another time. I'll save that for another year. Oh, there's something I just did. This is one of those things I had on my list for a long time. I just did it about May Fascinating. Is that I took my patriarchal blessing, and I kind of marked it and stuff before, but I took it down and I made lists, like a list of these are the warnings that are in it, these are the, you know, this is the advice that's in it, these are the blessings that's in it. And it was kind of interesting to actually very specifically write those down. So that's something I did in that area. Okay, family and relationships. Scream-free parenting would go along with this one as well. So any ideas of what you might want to do here? One thing that we do is Friday is religiously date night. That's very important for my husband and myself. So we do that. The other thing is we do kid dates. This is one of the things we did where my husband, every Saturday, Friday's my night, and every Saturday he takes out one of the kids that rotates through the kids, and they just get to go do a dad kid thing, which is really fun. But did you have your hand up? You feel like screaming whisper. You know, last week, a week ago Wednesday, what's today? I don't even know where I am anymore. It's Thursday? I'm just on planes all week. I'm going to L.A. tonight in about an hour, so I don't even know where I am. What was I going to say? You flashed in that card, and I completely forgot what I was saying. Whisper. Last Wednesday, I had no voice at all, and I spoke at a conference last Saturday, so I'm thinking, okay, I have 2 days to recover, and so for 2 days, I didn't talk, and it was interesting, because I'm not a really soft-spoken person, and it was interesting, the whispering, how it did affect, of course, half the time, they just ignored me, but it did have an effect, so it was interesting. Any others on that? So think about all the relationships you have and what you could do to improve with your kids, your husband, but with other people too, with your extended family, your neighbors. Since you're all contributing, I'm going to count this as kind of question out, so you can contribute anything you want or ask a question. I mean, you can bring anything you want. Education and training. I had until last month, I had a nonfiction book club for the past number of years that I have a website, a blog called Mormon Mama, and I have about 10 women who write.
I was like, you're the one.
Yeah.
That's actually how I found out about the conference.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, yeah, okay. I have a blog called Mormon Mom. I got about 10 women, I don't know, and a few men who write for me. And we had a nonfiction book club on there. So that was kind of fun because it just got me reading stuff. I do a lot of web programming and stuff. So what are some things, maybe in education and training, that you've thought of that would be helpful to you? Your homeschoolers. Schoolers. I'm just going to stand here until somebody says something. Yes?
I took a class in neurofeedback.
Oh, good. Very good. Did it show the baby brain? Never mind. That's from my other class. Did it show teenagers' brains look like toddler brains? Did you know that? Anyway, and they act like them too.
I think toddlers are smarter.
I think toddlers are smarter. Could be. Now, come on, tell me some things that you could do with regards to education, intellectual development. What?
Even just making a good list of books that I always should have read in life and haven't, and doing that.
I went, about 20 years ago, I went to the BYU Honors Department, and I just said, can I have your honors reading list? And they gave it to me. And I think it's online now. So I just started with that, and I tend to like nonfiction a lot better than anything fiction, but I have kind of gone through and periodically gone through and done some of that reading. I read a lot, but it was good to kind of go get another list from somebody besides me. Financial and career goals. You know, one thing I did in this area besides the home business stuff is that I kind of become a financial expert, and that was kind of out of necessity because we had no money to start with. But to really look at the things that take the most money and find out how to make them to minimize the expenses there. And one thing was I became a kind of a tax expert. I mean, my degree is in applied business, which is, that's why I have a lot of accounting. And I kind of enjoy accounting, but, you know, I've read those big stinking honking tax books that are 1,000-something pages. But because it's very interesting to find out what the law allows and what the law accommodates for. And if you can do that, you can save yourself a lot of money if you know what the law is. And it just it takes time and it's kind of tedious. But being able to save a lot of money on taxes because I know what the law is has been really helpful. So that's been something that just helped our family. Does anyone have anything they want to share on that? Yes. Oh, I like his show. I've heard his radio show, the Dave Ramsey. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was great.
I've only heard his show, but I like his stuff. Did you have a comment? Dave Ramsey's show. Sorry. Dave Ramsey has a couple of programs you can buy and
the workshop's called Financial Peace University, and it's an actual like a 15 class workshop that you go to.
Yeah, the financial. In fact, I think he came to Salt Lake this month. Oh, we're not in Salt Lake. Sorry. I don't know where I am. He travels around the country, though, and does seminars.
He also has one for homeschoolers for teens.
That, you're right. Somebody just mentioned that to me. That's right. So he has a homeschool program that he does as well. Okay, health and fitness. I actually am going to lose the baby weight. My closet is... I have so many cute clothes that I don't fit in right now. But that's one of my goals is to lose the baby weight. And it's every time I've had more kids, it gets harder because I gain about 50 pounds every time I give birth. And then it kills me. And with every subsequent birth, thank you for nodding, not just looking at me like, are you insane, you fat lady? But the thing is, as it went on, the more kids I had and the older I got, the harder it has been every single time. And I used to think people were just lazy when they said that, and so true. So, you know, I am going to lose it. That is one of my goals. But in the marathon was one of my physical goals. Does anyone have anything like that they want to share that they're trying to do or want to try to do?
I just started to do yoga every morning. My sister taught me some really interesting things about it. It goes along with meditation and that kind of thing, but anyway, I do it every day.
That's really good. Oh, you know, I have a friend who's a homeschooler. Her name's Laura Ebertin, Laurelyn Ebertin, and she's the most lovely, adorable person you'll ever meet. And about 2 years ago, a friend of hers kind of just coerced her to come join this group that goes to a gym and works out in the morning, and they kind of train for triathlons, and she was not athlete, you know, she's just like a regular person like the rest of us, and she's done, I think, 3 or 4 triathlons now. She's fit as can be, and she was a regular, had a bunch of kids mom, you know, and just goes early in the morning and does it, and if you talk to her, it's amazing how it's changed her life, just because it doesn't take a lot of time away from family because she does it right in the morning, but she feels so much better. She has so much more energy. She just and she's very excited about it and has a great time doing it. And she was not an athlete or exercise lover, so it was a great example to me. When I move, she's trying to talk me into doing it with her. When I move, I'm moving over closer to her this summer, so we'll see. But anyway, that was a great example to me. Home and organization. We're building a new house right now, and so that's my total home organization goal right now is building this new house, which is it's hard when you're doing a lot of the work. I mean, not the work, but the designing and stuff. What are some goals you might have in this area? Yes?
My friend highly recommends Don Aslett's book on Let Your House Do the Cleaning for You.
Yeah.
So if you have a chance to book
around
the house, you can read that first
and guide you as to what you can tell you. So it's really easy. You know, I actually used his book when we built the house we live in now, kind of as a guide. Some of it's not really practical because it's so utilitarian to me that I actually talked to him a few times about it. I said, okay, this isn't working for me, but lots of good ideas in there. I mean, too utilitarian, I mean, really to me, like don't have any, basically if you have nothing out, then you have nothing to dust. Okay, well, you know, but lots of really good ideas, he's a man, you know, but really good ideas. So I did use that the last time, and those it has some good sound ideas. What are some other ideas you could use in your home? Do for your home.
What was his name?
Don Aslett.
Is there a girl version?
Just modify it. Well, Fly Lady is not construction though. This is Don Aslett is a cleaning organization guy, but this particular book is about building a house. So it's like
those itty bitty steps. Yeah.
I just can't get over the fly. I just can't get over the fly part. I even said it to her once. I said, okay, I think of bugs and like dirty, disgusting bugs whenever you say that. So can't you change the name? She didn't change the name for me, but that's what I think of, fly lady, like the big eyes or something. I don't know. It just creeps me out. But anyway, she has some good stuff. The next was an interest in personal growth. You know, I'll tell you what I did with this. I got like 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes. Thank you. I'll tell you what I did with this last year. Last year, my third daughter is like the clone of me, not physically so much, but she wants to be a star. But I wanted to be a Broadway star when I was her age. And she is so the performer, and she's an incredibly talented singer. And she went to Young Ambassadors. BYU has a performing group called Young Ambassadors, and they do, they're kind of the musical theater performing group. And in the summers, they do a camp called Young Ambassadors Singing Entertainer Camp, which, of course, is her dream. And last year, she was finally old enough to go, and she went to that, and she's going this year, and this is just the, you know, her dream come true. And they do a show. They do a show toward the beginning of the week where everyone kind of does a performance. Everyone who wants to, who's there. And there's 90-something kids there. And they do a kind of a talent show. And the parents can come. And so we went and watched it. And I have chronic sinusitis, which is not good when you're a singer. I've had it for 10 years now. And so I have done a lot of choirs and stuff, but I don't sing a lot anymore because it's discouraging to me because my voice isn't what it used to be. It's much hard. It's like having a, you know, I have a sinusitis. I've had it for 10 years. And it's hard when your head's clogged to sing. And so I haven't sung myself much. And there was a song that a girl performed there from a show called Smokey Joe's Cafe, and I loved the song. I loved, loved, loved the song, and I thought it was so fun. And I thought, you know, I want my kids to develop their talents and move forward and do stuff. And in some ways, I like with my singing at least, I hadn't done it because it's hard to go sing when you know it's not the best you can sing, you know. And so I hadn't done it. I thought, you know, I'm just gonna get over myself and do it. And so I got the music for the song, and I learned this song called Don Juan. And I learned the song, and last summer I sang it in one of my conference things. And you know what? That was stinking hard to do because I wasn't really comfortable doing it. But I think it was still good for me to realize I could survive that. And it was good, I think, to, you know, get over myself and also to show my kids it's okay to do something hard that you don't do perfectly, that you don't do just the way you want, to still move forward. It still helps. So service and philanthropy, do you have any ideas on that? I have this charity I want to start called, I actually bought the website. It's called Give a Dime. Do you get it? And it's a charity it's going to be a micro-charity, is what I call it, where I want to do kind of community. I'm not going to do this for a while because I don't have time, but I want to have it be something where there are small needs in a community that you meet, small, instead of, you know, not some big, we're going to build you a house, but maybe there's a family that has no washer and dryer, and to provide small things and kind of connect people with, what do you want to contribute to and have them directly contribute. So that's something I want to do in that area. I also want to do scholarships in the names of my father and mother and my husband's father and mother. Like my dad's a math professor. Well, he's retired. He was a math professor at BYU. So I want to do a math scholarship for my dad and do one for each of my parents and where their degrees are in.
I was thinking earlier today, we ought to do some sort of funding to make scholarships.
See, and that's another, I actually did something like that for a convention in Utah a few years ago. So there's all sorts of things you can do with limited resources, just yourself too, or with a group of people. And recreation and leisure, I think that was probably the easiest one to think about, the trips or the things you want to go on. Mary Oliver said, "What are you going to do with your one wild and precious life?" I love that because this is it. This is your life. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it and with the time that you have here, however long that is? And I hope that what you do is you choose to live what your dream life is and to be a better person. And thank you for coming. I appreciate your being here.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.